Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the second Sunday in Advent comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who it was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Thus far the text. John seems to us like that crazy guy who lives alone, all out in some shack in the middle of the mountains somewhere. And every once in a while, he comes bumbling into town and he sets up his soapbox on the busiest street corner. From there, with megaphone in hand, he starts to ramble on and on about the end of the world. "Repent," he yells out as we scurry on, pretending not to hear his amplified voice booming in our ears. "Don't listen to him," we tell the children. "He's not right in the head." We see his camel's hair tunic, his wild mangy beard, his sticky fingers covered in bee stings, maybe even a grasshopper leg stuck in his teeth. And we think to ourselves, this man can barely take care of himself. And there he stands lecturing me about my life. And we're certain that the only people who would ever actually listen to this sort of guy are those who's just as crazy as he is. But for the rest of us, well, we can all just forget all about him as soon as we make it around that corner. We have this picture of John all wrong, though. Or at least I do. Maybe that's not the picture that you have of John. If so, well done. But we read our text for today. When we do that, we don't see this sort of misconception about John from the crowds. There's contempt. We'll hear about that. But there's not misconception. And perhaps that's where we should actually focus, is contempt. The people in our text, they see John for who he is, the office that he's standing in. His whole getup, his whole way of life is not something altogether strange and out of place. He hearkens back to the time of the prophets. His attire is the exact same as Elijah's. Go ahead and read the first chapter of 2 Kings. You'll see that very thing. And the last two verses in Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, they say, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." That's not even to mention what we read about from Isaiah today in our Old Testament and what our gospel reading quotes from Isaiah. So the people of that day knew that Elijah was to come. Chances are they were much more literate about the Old Testament than many or most of us. So when John comes, they go out, not to see some crazy man, but to find out whether or not he was the Elijah to come. They've waited hundreds of years for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And now, maybe, just maybe, it has. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they go out to meet him too. They also are curious as to whether or not John was who he appeared to be. Again, you don't go out to the wilderness, out into the desert, to see a crazy guy in a sideshow. You go out there to see and to hear whether or not this man was sent by God to make straight the ways of the one to come. Where we get tripped up, and perhaps why John makes us so very uncomfortable, is not because of his attire or his diet, but because of the things that he preaches. His entire message can be summed up in one single word: repent. And when we hear that word repent, we can't help but stiffen up a little bit, immediately put up our guard. We hear repent, And we think, change your sinful ways, you awful sinner. Who among us wouldn't be taken aback? Hold just a little bit of contempt for this man. Change my ways, we exclaim. How about you take the log out of your own eye, John, before you start pointing at the speck in mine? The problem isn't John, though, of course. It's us. We see John wrong, and we hear repent wrong as well. We take a look at this section of Scripture, and our eyes are drawn to the place where John exhorts the Pharisees and the Sadducees to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And then we hear John talk about an axe laid to the roots of our tree and the promise that we're going to be cut down if we don't produce fruit. And this makes us all a little uncomfortable, to say the least. Uncomfortable, so much so, in fact, that we can never seem to find any sort of comfort when we hear about John the Baptist. We have it all wrong, of course. And that's the problem. We know that John has come to make straight the paths of the Lord. We hear about axes and fruit and chopped down trees and repentance. And we think that John's job, his purpose, was to clean up the world before Jesus came. We believe that the only way to make crooked paths straight is to amend the life of the sinner. John's out in the wilderness, we think, to make better people of the masses, so that when Jesus comes, everything won't be so ugly and rotten and barren and sinful. And so, actually, in the same way, then, also, we make this season of Advent into this very same thing. Clean up your life before Christmas. You wouldn't want baby Jesus to come and see all of the horrible things that you've been doing. How embarrassing would that be? So John becomes that parent who tricks his kid into cleaning up his room every single day in December so that Santa will be able to fill their stockings with presents instead of coal. We really do find it pretty easy to make it all about us, don't we? John tells us, repent. And we only hear, clean up your filthy lives. And because of this, we're stuck in one of two places. We become fraught with anxiety and dread because we aren't able to clean things up as well as we should. That same sin plagues us again today, just like it did last week too. And we still haven't been able to wake up early enough to make it to Bible study before the divine service. And we find ourselves yelling more at our kids and bickering more with our spouses, because there aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done during this busy season. And then, when we finally actually make it to church, we get to hear John yelling at us, repent. Kind of leads us to despair. And in that despair, we either double down and try that much harder, and in the end, find ourselves that much more in despair, because even when we doubled our efforts, we find ourselves incredibly short of the mark. Either that happens, or we just hang it all up, and we treat John like that crazy guy out in the wilderness. And we don't have to listen to that crazy guy, because our focus is on the fruit. It's always on the fruit. And we're torn because we're either sure that we haven't borne enough fruit, or we're so overconfident, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, that we have borne enough fruit. Enough and more. So much so that we're going to get a present from Santa Jesus when he comes. But none of that's repentance. Fruit isn't repentance. Stop thinking that fruit is repentance. Just get your eyes off the fruit altogether. The fruit will come. It must come. It's the fruit of repentance. That's the promise of our Lord. Repentance will take care of that. Our Lord will take care of that. God will do all of that. Don't worry about it. Because the problem is, when our focus is so much on the fruit, on keeping the axe away from the root of our tree by producing enough fruit, all we're going to see is that axe ever present, because all we're going to see is a tree with not enough fruit, barren, empty. That's all we're going to focus on. So to all of that, I can only say one thing. It's the same thing that John says. Repent. But stop right there and understand what repentance is. Remember, it's not the fruit. The fruit doesn't make straight or prepare the way of the Lord. John isn't going about making people better. That's not his purpose. So that when Jesus comes, Jesus can actually give everybody a big slap on the back and an attaboy. John comes to bring people to repentance, to bring us to repentance. Advent comes this whole season to bring us to repentance. And repentance isn't fruit. Repentance begins with that beautiful mirror that casts that horribly ugly reflection of ourselves. Repentance begins with the law of God making it absolutely crystal clear that we haven't even come close to producing the fruit that we must. All of our good works have fallen hysterically short of the mark. It isn't even close. And don't even begin to say, yeah, but I've been a Christian my whole life, since before I can remember. I never miss church. I'm always there. I take that fifth seat from the left on the seventh row from the back on the lectern side. You'll find me there every single Sunday. I don't know about so-and-so, but me you'll find. Don't let those words cross your lips, because they mean absolutely nothing. Repentance begins with a perfect law convicting us of our imperfect lives, so that we are brought to the realization that we have never done enough and we never will. And then repentance continues with the gospel. Jesus is coming. Jesus comes. He came and he comes and he will come again. And he does it all for you. Receive him, not as that perfect person you pretend to be, but as that sinner that you are. Receive him and his gift of forgiveness like a beggar with an empty sack. Because that's why Jesus has come to you this day, to fill your beggar sack or stocking, it's close to Christmas, with him, all the way to the brim. Everything that you need, his life, his death, his resurrection, his forgiveness, his everything. My fellow sinners, you're forgiven for the sake of Christ and him alone. Not because of your tree, not because of your fruit or your good works or your lineage, but because of his tree and his fruit and his good works and his lineage, because he's the only Son of the Father come down to this earth to fulfill that perfect law that you could not. And then he takes the fruit of his tree, the fruit of the cross, and he gives it to you, and he says, here, here it is, it's yours. It was mine, and now it's all yours. Receive it freely, joyfully, thankfully. Repentance is the coming to the knowledge of your sin, being brought low with contrition and sorrow, and then receiving the forgiveness of Christ Jesus for all of that sin, every single last one. Full stop. Nothing else. That's repentance. That's it. Law and gospel, sin forgiven, Jesus come for you. The fruit? What about the fruit? It'll come. It must come. That's the promise of your Lord. He's made you to be a good tree. Good trees produce good fruit. It's his fruit produced in you. It'll come. My fellow Christians, Advent is about repentance. So let us repent. But let's not look at the axe or the fruit or even to the tree. Let's just look to Christ, to his fruit, to his tree. That's what John's been telling us from the beginning. John isn't out there in the wilderness making better people this Advent season. He's out there bringing all of us to repentance, killing us with the law, and then saying, hey, dead guy, Jesus is coming. And he's going to raise you to new life because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means your sin too. I've just come to prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, but that means nothing other than bringing you to repentance so that you might come to the knowledge of your sin, realizing that there's nothing you can do to earn forgiveness. And then I proclaim Jesus Christ to you, your Savior, the one who is to come, who does come this day to forgive you of all of your sins for his sake and his merit alone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Advent. It's here. Christmas is coming. Jesus is coming. Repent. Receive Jesus for you. In the name of Jesus.